This is an Open Talk Radio 313 The Flash production. The Rated R Wrestling Podcast 313 with the Southwest Texans starts right now.
Welcome to the Rated R Wrestling Podcast 313. I'm your host, the Southwest Texan, Day-Day Cruz. How's everybody doing this week? Now, this week, I'm not going to interview wrestlers this week, no disrespect, but this week's going to be on the referees. You know, the referees need to be shown love to just as much as managers, so I'm going to be working harder and trying to get managers and referees. I'm going to try to do those special kind of shows every other week as I'm trying to get wrestlers to go at the same time. So what's going on, Martez? How's it going this week, brother?
It's going good, man. Can't complain, man. Happy to be here again with you. And I'm super, super excited about this show tonight. What's up?
Yeah. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I don't know if referees get the spotlight enough. So I'm intrigued to hear what this show is going to be about tonight and what knowledge they have to bring.
Oh, I'm pretty sure they got a lot of knowledge because not a lot of people know, and I'm pretty sure a lot of wrestling fans know, but not a lot of them know that the wrestlers get, or the referees, they get trained just like the wrestlers, so they got to work just as hard as the wrestlers, and a rule in the wrestling world is the referee is the most important part of the match because they're calling the action, they're calling the rules, and they're calling a lot of things that go on in the match, and they take bumps too, and they're putting themselves in danger just as much as the wrestlers because, you know, a lot of the wrestlers, you know what I'm saying, they attack the referees and whatnot. So, you know, it's just as much as hard work as being a wrestler, and it's the same thing as managers because they have to get in the way of danger also when it comes to these matches. So, you know, it's a lot of hard work that these referees and these managers do that a lot of people don't know and don't pay attention to. You know, I actually do because I know three of the referees personally that are going to come on. And, man, these guys are hard workers. And Mike Posey's really, really, you know, a big name. And I thank him for taking our invitation to be on the show. And this is all brought to you guys by Open Talk Radio, The Flash. You know what I'm saying? 313. And it's a lot of love here. And Mike Posey's a great referee. I'm going to introduce John Gray. And 1-2-3 Zeke, actually Elijah Magic, George Robinson, man, these guys work hard. And I known Zeke for almost 30 years, and I known George Robinson for almost 2, and I just met John Gray, but this dude's a great guy, and I'm pretty sure Mike Posey's a great guy because he took the time actually on his day off. I'm assuming, and I know that he's taking his day off and coming on to the show. So, you know, It's a great thing that they're doing. So if anybody wants to give a call before these referees show us love, area code 646-668-8672. It's going to be a great show tonight. So it's going to be a long one because I'm having like 4 people on the show. So I'm not really going to have time to get all your callers. So if you guys want to call in before the referees show up, you know, give me some love. Show some love to the referees too, you know. Give me a call and ask some questions before they get on the line. Area code 646-668-8672. So, Martez, are you going to want to join me on this one?
Yeah, I'll definitely be ready. I'll be ready. I'll be happy to join you.
I'd be grateful. So are there any callers on the line?
Not yet.
Not yet. Okay. So, yeah, guys, if you guys want to give me a call before these referees show up, area code 646-668-8672. But, yeah, like I was saying, Martez, man, these guys, man, they go through a journey just as much as these wrestlers. And like I said, I see a lot of it, you know, and Mike Posey's going to have a lot of stories to tell, man, because I got a lot of questions for him and the rest of these referees, man. It's going to be a long hour and a half, but it's going to be a great one.
Yeah, man, I can this going to sound kind of like cheesy, but it seems like you're officiating tonight. You're officiating this matchup, if you will, because you're going to be talking to three people at one time, interviewing three people at one time. So you're going to be doing a little bit of refereeing yourself tonight. But
oh, man, I don't know, man. They might disqualify me or kick me out the match as they're talking and go amongst themselves and do their thing. So I don't know, man. I don't know.
Right.
They're like, you're disqualified. You're kicked off your own show. We're gonna take over. So I mean, I might officiate a little bit, but they're gonna really be officiated tonight.
No, absolutely. And you know what, man? Another thing, like this, and I ain't lying, man. I'm really like intrigued about this show because. A lot of times, even for me, man, the referees can be easily ignored or easily forgotten about because they're not the main attraction. But I know there's a lot that goes into refereeing. You know, you got to be in the right place at the right time. You got to make the right call at the right time. You got to follow the plan script, if you will, if I could say that. So there's a lot of responsibility on the referees. That they have to go through and that they have to execute for each match. And that's one of the things I want to hear about with these guys.
Yeah, that's most definitely, and that's what I mean. You know, that's why I actually took the initiation to do this show tonight. You know what I'm saying? Because, it like you said, they have to – they work as much as the wrestlers, and it's just – I had to do it. And that's the same thing. I'm going to try to get great managers on the show because – independent, both independent and pro, because they do as much work as the referees and the wrestlers also. You know, they're not just standing on the side of the ring. They have to find a way to get their wrestler to win or find a way to even cheat their way to glory in championship gold. Just like I'm going to try to get Truth Martinez, the best manager in Ring of Honor history. He has gotten a lot of people to glory and gold. The Ring of Honor Championship, the Ring of Honor Television Championship, and the Ring of Honor Tag Team Championships. You know, he brought them all to success. He's managed Jay Lethal, Robert Strong, and you could go on the list, and, man, the list goes on. You know, he has to find a way to get these guys a championship gold and to find their guys to glory, because if you're not doing that, you're not doing your job, and why would they want you?
Exactly. I agree with you 100%. You know, I just learned that a lot of these referees, they actually call some of the shots backstage. Like they're part of the bookings, and they're part of the management part of the promotion. So a lot of people don't know that they have like a hand in who wins the match, who doesn't win the match. You know, the production, things of that nature.
Right, exactly, and that's what I mean. You know, They like I said, not a lot of people know that the power that they have back, well, not just backstage, but outside, you know, while they're out there, you know what I'm saying, doing their job, not just the wrestlers, putting on the entertainment, because the referees, like I said, they have to officiate and execute everything that they have to just as much as the wrestlers, because it's all in the work. If you have one failed thing in the business while you're out there, all of it's going to fail. It's like a domino mm-hmm. effect.
Right.
The wrestlers have to put on the entertainment, the referees have to call and officiate, and the managers have to find a way to get the wrestlers to win, and, you know, everything has to be there. Like Paul Heyman, you know what I'm saying, that's why he probably don't have it no more. That's why he's out of being a backstage, you know, with his job on Raw. That's why he's doing what he's doing now, you know, so... You know, you can only do so much. You can't burn yourself out. That's why there's always official referees and wrestlers and managers and people backstage. So, I mean, it's all, like I said, it's all a domino effect. But I can't wait to have these guys on. I'm super excited and super stoked I haven't felt this stoked in a long time because this is actually I kind of want to say the first in history to do a referee, you know what I'm saying, interview for everybody, you know what I'm saying? So I kind of feel that.
Hey, kudos to you, man, and kudos to your creativity. So yeah, I'm gonna check the call line. We have a caller on the line. I'm gonna see if it's one of the referees. Okay.
Okay, appreciate it. No, so guys, like I said, what's up?
If this is one of the referees, do you want me to wait to bring? Yeah, you want me to wait to bring them on when everybody else is here?
Yeah, wait to bring them all on at once. Let them know that that's what we're gonna do.
All right.
All right, thank you. But, yeah, guys, you know, these referees work really hard in doing what they do. They go through years of training, like just like the wrestlers, and I can't wait to have these guys on. Mike Posey, former WWE, TNA, NWA, and current AEW referee, John Gray. He's a 24-year vet in the game. George Robinson, I think he has almost a decade in the game. I'm not really sure. Zeke, he has almost a year or possibly more in the game. And these guys work really hard. And I've seen these guys put the ring together, take it down, and officiate these matches. And three of these guys are two of them are deathmatch referees. And Zeke is a pro wrestler referee. He just did his first deathmatch referee officiating a few weeks ago. But, you know, these guys work hard. They take a journey just like the wrestlers, and they have to officiate all these matches, man. So give these guys some love. If these guys are all on, Mike Posey, John Gray, Zeke, Elijah Magic, and George Robinson. I hope you guys are on. And if you guys are on, you guys are welcome to the Rated R Wrestling Podcast. Is anybody on, or how many referees are on? Not sure. Well, guys, I'm really excited, like I said, to have you guys on. It's going to be a great show. I can't wait. But in the meantime, you know, who watched Raw this week? I thought it was a pretty good match. I thought it was a pretty good show. And I think they're using Charlotte too much also at the same time. It's just a crazy thing, and I can't wait to have let me see. Okay. George said he's on the line. Let me see. I'm trying to see who's on the line, guys. I'm sorry about that.
I'm back with you. John is on the line, and I believe another referee is on the line.
Yeah, George Robinson's on the line. John Gray and George Robinson on the line. If you want to bring them on, you can. I mean,
okay,
I'll talk to them so everybody else gets on.
I'll bring them on now.
All right. All right, ladies and gentlemen, John Gray and George Robinson's on the line. What's going on, brothers? How's it going? Welcome to the Rated R Wrestling Podcast 313.
Hey, thanks so much for having me, man.
Oh, no problem, man. It's my pleasure, man. This is all about you guys tonight. I'm grateful that you came and took my invitation to coming on to the show, man. It's just a great thing.
I appreciate it, man. Appreciate it. I do got to correct you on one thing. You kind of aged me there. I ain't got 24. You're 22. Don't make me older than I really am.
Oh, I'm sorry about that. I'm sorry. I'm sorry about that. You could disqualify me right now if you want to. Disqualify me.
Yeah, good times.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Oh, well, thanks for having me on, too, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem, George. You was a little quiet, buddy. What's going on?
Not much, man. I just wanted to make sure that John spoke first, so I'm not going to interrupt. We're going to have enough heads in the kitchen as it is anyway. One correction, though. My stage name is George Ross, not George Robinson.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry about
that's
that.
You're good. You're square, man. Don't worry about it. I ain't enough of a name yet for people to be like, you know.
No, man. No, that's what we're gonna get to that, man. We're gonna get on that, man. So, yeah, how you guys been? How you guys been since the last time I seen you guys each?
Man, I'm good. I just got back from Indianapolis doing a GCW deal up there, and a lot of fun, man. A lot of fun.
I know. I see. I wasn't able to make it. I was kind of I was gonna go, but I didn't end up going, man. It was a thing, you know. I had over the weekend. My brother's birthday was that Saturday, so I was like, man, I had to do that. So I was gonna go try that.
Good time.
No, unfortunately, things aren't going as well for me. We had a promoter, local West Virginia promoter, post some nasty things about George Floyd, so the entire roster up and quit. So,
No, man.
They ain't got no room for all that bullshit.
It was just some real insensitive stuff, and pretty much the entire roster just walked out. I mean, so now the guy's going to run an anniversary show in August, and he's basically had to bring in all new guys. So that should be – it's going to be a dumpster fire, quite honestly. But
I mean, sounds like it couldn't happen to a nicer guy, but, you know, I don't know him, so I ain't one to gossip. So he ain't heard that from me.
Yeah, you ain't hear that from me. But, yeah, man, that's I'm waiting for the Mike Posey, and I'm waiting for Zeke said he's here, but he's not connected. But, Martez, if you want to bring Zeke on, you can bring him on also. But, yeah, well, let's get to you guys. You guys, how long have you guys been wrestling fans for before you got into the refereeing game?
Oh, wow. You go ahead and take this one first.
Am I on?
Yours?
Dave.
Well, what's going on, Zeke? What's going on, Magic?
What's up, guys? Thanks for having me.
Oh, man, you know, it's a pleasure. It's always our pleasure, man, to have you guys on, man. It's all about the Zebras tonight. I got the Zebras here, so don't disqualify me, guys. This is my show, but if you guys ever feel like you want to disqualify me and take it upon yourself to talk, go ahead.
Oh, no, you done aged me and gave the wrong stage name for my cohort here. I think that's two strikes, one more, and you're out. Ain't that how it works? Or, wait a minute. That's
probably.
Wrong sport.
Wrong sport. What's up, John? What's up, George?
I'm good. I don't know about George over here. You're being awful quiet. Do you
know?
George?
I just don't want to cut people off, man. That's all. I'm cutting us on the line. That's all. Yeah, no, I'm good, bro. I'm good.
Cut me off. I don't care. You hurt my feelings. Shit.
So, yeah, man, Nick, I just asked him before you were a referee. Well, I don't got to ask you this because I've known you for almost 30 years. How long before you were a referee did you like wrestling?
I've only been refereeing for like 15 or 13 months, so not my whole life before the 13 months.
Okay. What about you, George?
Well, I remember watching Monday Night Raw when I was about 5 years old, and I'm 31, so I've loved wrestling for a while, but I've been reffing for like about 2 years now on shows.
Okay. Lord, see, I got to be the old folk here. Go back to 1984 when I was 4 years old, and going to like the Louisville Gardens and, you know, seeing, I think at the time it was like the CWA, the Continental Wrestling Alliance, and it was like Jerry Jarrett's promotion or whatever. It later became the USWA after the merger with the AWA or whatever it was. But, you know, like I started in 84 when I moved to Louisville from Dallas. And it's funny because I say I came from Dallas and people are like, you didn't know about the Dallas Auditorium? No. No, I had no clue about the Von Erichs in 1984. My first taste of wrestling was Jerry Lawler and The Missing Link and guys like that, you know. And I mean, just going in and seeing that on a weekly basis, you know, you can't touch those memories.
Right. You can't at all. Man, it's those times of wrestling. I mean, I wasn't born, but I mean, you can watch it on YouTube. But I mean, yeah, those times were when Jerry Lawler was wrestling was a great time in wrestling. Even when he slapped Kaufman.
Andy Kaufman. I think that was before my time. It may have been just before I started watching, but I think that was before me.
Yeah. Yeah, but that was great. I actually seen the actual footage. That was great.
Yeah. Good times.
Yeah. Who were you guys' favorite wrestlers growing up? I'm gonna start with you, Zeke.
My first favorite, I was a Hulkamaniac, but then growing up, Shawn Michaels or Bret Hart.
Shawn Michaels or Bret Hart, okay. What about you, George?
So I was a big WCW mark, so I was always big on, like, Ric Flair, Arn Anderson, Chris Benoit, that incarnation in 95, which had Mongo in it. Like Mongo, but I like everybody else. So
yeah.
Well, I gotta ask a follow up question, and I'm sorry, man, but I gotta know what was your favorite incarnation of the Four Horsemen?
Probably that one, just because it's the one I remember watching live.
Okay.
Yeah, honestly, like, if of the ones I've probably seen, probably like the best one. I like the last one they did before they brought Wyndham in. So what that would have been, Arn as manager, Flair, Benoit, and Malenko.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, like, okay. The classic stuff was, you know, the classic stuff's on, you know, that's obviously, like, you know, heralded. I just never had the chance to really go back and watch those old War Games against, like, Dusty and the World Warriors and Nikita Koloff and stuff. But
oh man, if you had the network, I know one of them is on there. One of the 87 War Games is on there. Do yourself a favor, go back and watch it. It's phenomenal, man.
For sure.
It is. Phenomenal. I mean, the amount of talent in the ring in that one match was just, you know, like, off the chain, and to see J.J. Dillon, like, if it's the one where J.J. Dillon was working, you know, to see J.J. Dillon in there doing what he does, you know, and being taken back to that heyday of wrestling, you know, was actually really cool and nostalgic, too. You know, I remember when that happened, watching it on, like, closed-circuit television, you know, and just going, wow, you know, I've heard about J.J. being a wrestler. I've just never seen it, and, you know, here he is. And so it was really cool.
Oh, nice. Yeah. I mean, you guys went way back. Those were great times. What were your guys' favorite factions? What was your guys' favorite factions growing up?
That's a tough one. Because, you know, like, factions weren't real big in the 80s, when, other than the Horsemen. You had the Horsemen and, like, the Heenan family, but can you really consider the Heenan family like a faction? Because they never really did much together, you know.
Yeah.
They were each individuals within a group, if that makes sense.
Right. Yeah. Definitely.
So I don't know. In the 80s, I don't guess that, other than the Horsemen, but definitely the 90s. You know, DX over NWO, and people argue that with me all the time, but.
I prefer DX over NWO. The Hart Foundation. Nah, I'm gonna say DX over NWO. I gotta go with John on that one all day. John, that's right. DX over NWO. If you ain't down with that, we got two words for you. What about you, Drew?
Yeah, cease and desist. Oh, that's three.
No,
all have not been fortunate enough to get a CND from the WWE, let me tell you, it is a very fun experience.
Oh, God. I don't know about that one. Not me.
I don't want that to happen. I don't know the right.
Yeah.
You take that back. But
I have been fortunate to have that. So yeah, good times.
Really.
Good times.
Really.
Yeah.
Nice. So you guys, who were you guys trained by? I'm gonna start with you, John.
Originally the American Kickboxer. Me and a guy named Isaiah were the founding members of the Rage Dojo. For those of you who are not familiar with the Rage Dojo, it turned out names such as Dave Davidson, Scotty Vortex, Drake Younger, who many of you all may know as current NXT and WWE referee, producer, agent, and whatever other hat that man has to wear in his role, Drake Wirtz. Okay. I mean, Jesus Christ, like I follow him on Facebook and it seems like every other day he's like posting a new job that he does there. And it's just like, dude, like I get it, you know, but seeing what Drake has to go through and it's good for him, but it's one of those things where I'm kind of fortunate. Like I'm thankful that I never got a contract anywhere because that's just too much. You know, I just want to show up, do my job, do it well, and go home at the end of the day. All that agenting stuff and producing, that's not my stick. You know, I'll set up a ring. I'll do that with you. But yeah, it's just not my stick, man. But hats off to Drake, man. He's able to do it and rock it out, and man, it couldn't happen to a better guy. But yeah, that's where I was trained with the American Kickboxer originally. Me and Isaiah founded the Rage Dojo with the Kickboxer, and a lot of great times, great stories running the roads with KB and Zaya back in 98, 99, and 2000. And so, yeah, this Kickboxer for me.
Nice. Kickboxer's a great guy, man. I interviewed him, I'm going to say a few months ago, but the footage was too long, so I couldn't get it on YouTube. But I'm going to try to figure out if I could get him on the show again. I'm pretty sure he would. I'm pretty sure he wouldn't have a problem with that. But, what about you, George? Who trained you?
Okay, so I'm out of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I trained and currently still train at the it's called Stronghold Wrestling Academy, based in – well, right now it's kind of up in the air, but we're out of Uniontown, Pennsylvania. I was trained by a guy named Brandon Kay. Kay's been active in the indies for about 20 to 21 years. Depending on who you talk to, a lot of folks will say he's the best, one of the best to ever come out of Pittsburgh. He's done dark matches with TNA, with WWE back in the late 90s, early 2000s. He was a really great guy. He taught me to respect the business. And quite honestly, like, I couldn't think, like, there were some others. There's probably about three or four different schools in our area, but like I'm glad that I was referred where I'm glad I ended up where I was, because I was actually referred by another one of our Zebra compatriots, referee Joe McCoy. He's does some work for Ring of Honor. He used to actually date my sister back in high school. Not at all. Joe's a great guy. He's the one who had actually referred me to Kay, and I owe him the world for it. So.
What about you, Zeke?
Briar Wellington.
The undisputed king of pro wrestling. So he trained you. Where did he train you at?
Cass Academy, Kingdom American Super Sport.
Okay. That's cool. So you got a chance at Briar One. That's cool. What about how long did you guys train for? Or you said a few months, Zeke. How long did you train for, John?
It's funny, and this is one of those questions that I love being asked, because I've never stopped. You know, 22 years, and any time I can be in that ring, it's a learning experience. It's a educational experience. It's, you know, I'm not just out there, you know, just to be out there, you know, like I take in every moment and I watch what people do, and, you know, I'm able to give little tidbits of feedback after the fact, you know, because of that. And, you know, I'm one of those guys that as soon as the match is over and we go to the back and, you know, thank you, whatever, what feedback do you have for me? You know, and a lot of times I met with you were absolutely on cue. You know, we didn't see you. You weren't in the way, so it's all good. You know, those things are all good and fine. But you know, I know that there's room for improvement every time I get in the ring. So I'm one of those people I really, really pick and prod. You know, to see where I can improve. And for me, the training just never has stopped. You know, I work out with the New South guys down here in Alabama where I live. When I'm in Louisville, I work out over at Tony, Two Tough Tony's wrestling school at the arena there with Billy Starks and the like. You know, I try to show up at arenas early and get a little ring time with whoever's in the ring. I'm not afraid to go out there and bump. I'm not afraid to go out there and, you know, whatever's needed. So, you know, but for me, the training has never stopped. You know, it started with kickboxer, and it just progressed from there with each and every person I'm in the ring with. Because, and I'm sure Mike Posey, when he joins us, can attest to this. Certainly George. You know, no two guys are alike. You know, no two workers are alike. Not just guys, but girls. No two workers are alike. They can have the same style and come from the same genre of wrestling, but they're not gonna work the same way. So, you know, being able to be versatile each time you're in the ring is a must. You know, and that's something that you're taught over time. That's not something that you really come into the business learning. So, you know, a long answer, such a short question, I know, but for me, the training has just never stopped.
Right. Okay. Definitely. That's always a good thing because you can never stop learning. You learn every day. No matter what you do. So I agree with you on that one.
And real quickly, just to add to that, and then I'll shut up and let George and Zeke talk. But, you know, I definitely don't want to take over the interview, and I apologize. But Jerry Lynn, who world-renowned, world-traveled, you know, during his retirement tour, I had the honor to work with him at a show in Jeffersonville, Indiana. And in the locker room, you know, a lot of people asked him, you know, why are you hanging it up? You know, what's the deal? And he said, you know, I've done everything I want to do. He said, my only regret with leaving so soon is there's still so much more for me to learn. And that's when it really sank in for me. And that was around 2010, 2011, whenever his retirement tour was, that's when that transpired. And it really sank in for me that, you know, this business is not just a gift, but it's also in every match you're learning, you're ever evolving, your character and how you approach things. And, you know, I think that's something that gets lost in the shuffle a lot of times during training classes is we don't touch on the fact that you have to be able to relearn everything each time you're in the ring, because no two workers are the same and no two matches are going to go the same way.
Right. No doubt. That's true. Yeah. For sure on that one. So what about you, George?
Well, I totally agree with everything that John just said. I mean, I was just a training last week. I would have been there this week, but we're kind of in a weird transitionary period where we don't have a building right now. We were running out of somebody else's, but he's kind of like another one of those guys who's one of the detestable Pittsburgh area promoters, so we've kind of cut ties with him too, so... I mean, like, as soon as I can get back in a ring, I'd love to. I'm on a show tomorrow night, but it's not the same as training. Like training, like I always, I'm kind of like John that way, where I'm always poking and prodding guys to try to, you know, see what I've done, you know, what I can do to get better. Because I'm definitely still learning. I'm not even 2 years in yet, you know. But like, I'm always trying to get better. I'm a bit of a perfectionist, and I just always think that. I'm kind of my own worst enemy, where I always think I did something wrong, even though I may not have. So.
But. All right.
I try to learn something every time I'm out there.
you could learn something new every time you're in the ring from all the people that got way more experience, and I only been here 13 months, so anything anybody says to me, I sponge it and listen and try to do it the next time I'm out there.
Another question I'm going to ask you guys is, what was your biggest match that you guys ref, and which one was your favorite that you ref? I'm going to start with John.
Oh, God. I don't really like to name drop, but you asked, so I guess I have to answer. As far as like star power goes, like just sheer star. I apologize, guy. I'm not choking on the joint. I promise. I swallowed wrong. I mean, it's no secret where John really gets down with the 420, but I would definitely tell you if that's what I was choking on. I just swallowed my coffee wrong. So I apologize about that. Anyways, the big, I'd say as far as just sheer star power. You know, I did a match in 2004 in Detroit, Michigan at the Detroit World Outreach with on one side of the ring you had Sting and Road Warrior Animal. This was right after Road Warrior Hawk passed away. And on the other side of the ring you had Buff Bagwell and Greg the Hammer Valentine. There was a run-in by Shawn Michaels, and there was a run-in by Ted DiBiase. And when I got to the building that day, like the people that were running the show, the show came and picked me up at the bus depot. And then, we get to the building, and like there's separate locker rooms for like the stars that I just listed, and like everybody else that's on the show. And we go past the first door where like all those guys would be. And it said, other wrestlers and refs, like, that's what the sign said on the door. And I went to go walk in that room, and the guy's like, no, you're down here. And I was like, dude, I hooked on phonics worked really well for me. I know I got my good enough diploma, but I can read. And it says, referees, right here, that's me, striped shirt, fill this room. He's like, no, you're John Gray, right? I was like, well, yeah. He said, you're down here. And I was like, what the hell? So I come down to where he's pointing to, and there's literally a door, and it's got Sting, Shawn Michaels, Ted DiBiase, John Gray, Buff Bagwell, Greg Valentine. And I'm just like, whoa, man, that is so cool. And, like, I walk in, and they literally stuck me. They had individual, like, dressing areas. Like, it's, you know, like a production-type church or whatever. And, like, they had individual production areas or dressing areas. And, like, you had Sting, me, and Sean on one side, and, like, Buff, Ted, and Greg on the other. And it was just crazy, man. So cool to be a part of that. I got to do the autograph signing with all the guys afterwards. And at the time, you know, 2004, I'm 6 years in. You know, I'm still wet behind the ears. I'm still a baby, learning, cutting my teeth, you know. Blessed to be where I was at. That as far as sheer star power goes, you know, that or, you know, getting to work with both the Road Warriors definitely race up there too. I did two shows with both Road Warriors, and nice. Mike was a hell of a guy. Mike was Road Warrior Hawk was a hell of a guy. Somebody I was blessed to call a friend. Ted is somebody that I'm blessed to call a friend. You know, things get rough for me, and I just need somebody to talk to. It don't matter what time of the day it is. I know I can dial up his numbers, and, you know, he's going to answer. And, you know, we have a great relationship, and I'm blessed for that. I'm truly blessed for the relationships that I've been able to forge in this industry. As far as my favorite match, it's my favorite for sentimental reasons. And I'll tell a fast backstory to it. So last year I lost both of my parents. I lost my father. My stepdad passed away April 6th while I was in New Jersey for WrestleMania week. As I was walking in to do the Orange Cassidy show, thank you very much, to do the Orange Cassidy show, I got the call that my dad had passed. So we leave, and you know, my WrestleMania weekend is obviously ruined at that point. And then 24 days later, I lost my mom on April 30th. The following weekend, I believe it was May 2nd of last year, CCW was in Chicago when I was booked. And, you know, my wife and my brother were very adamant that I needed to go. I needed to do the show. I needed to, you know, get my mind off the thing. My mother coming next day. So, you know, it was a very tough decision for me to make, especially since I didn't perform right after my dad passed away. And I was definitely closer to my mom. But I wound up going, and the first match of the night was Marco Stunt and Tony Deppen, neither of whom knew that my mom had passed away. And they put on – if you go back and watch that show, and I'll find out the name of it for you guys, but if you go back and watch that show from 2019 and watch Marco Stunt and Tony Deppen and me – There is something magical going on in that ring, okay? And I can't describe it or tell you, you know, what it was. It could have just been, you know, that I was very emotional given all the situation that was going on. But that match to me is my absolute favorite from the time the music hits to the time the bell rings at the end of it. You could just feel it, and I got to the back afterwards, and I'm just bawling. You know, like I knew something really great had just happened, and I'm bawling because I'm happy that I was able to perform at the level that I was able to perform at. And, you know, I was happy to be a part of such a magical moment between Marco and Tony. And Marco comes up to me and is like, you know, are you okay? What's wrong? And I told him then, I was like, I just lost my mom. And this match, and I'm getting goosebumps and kind of tearing up telling the story, but this match, you know, this match was something for me, and I could feel it, and it was, you know, for me, it was probably the match of my career. I feel like I put on the best work I've ever done in that one match, and I think they only went like 6 minutes, 7 minutes. It wasn't very long, but, you know, for me, just the magic that was made in that time of in that time length was amazing, and for that reason, and the emotions that went into it, so forth and so on. Tony Deppen, Marco Stunt from May 2nd to 2019, and I'm sorry, but I just don't remember the name of the DCW show. The main event was Mance Warner and Nick Gage, and that was also a very great match. But to me, the magic was in that opener with Tony and Marco.
Okay, I can agree with you on that's the sentimental match, because I'm a quick story, guys. I'm sorry that when my mom passed away in September of last year, shout out to Briar Wellington and Capital Vices, and because Briar Wellington dedicated a match to my mom, and I feel you on the tearing up, because I actually had to film that match, and I felt the same way. But what about you, George? What was your biggest match and your favorite match that you had?
Well, if we're going by star power, nowhere near the names that John name dropped, so I'll have to, like, just bury my pride here.
Why I don't like name dropping, because it's like, you know, at the end of the day, I'm just a guy like you. I just got lucky.
John, it's badass, and you should be, like, I wish I could say I've done that. So this was in Benwood, West Virginia. It was a benefit show for a friend of mine, Wes Fetty, a.k.a. the Beast Man. He was running a show to benefit for funeral expenses for a friend, the family of one of his old friends who had passed away, named Kenneth Finsley. And he was able to get a lot of discount. Like, he was able to get a lot of guys to give him some discounts. We were able to get Ellsworth. But I ended up getting Madman Fulton and Ace Austin.
Nice. That's a great match.
They went about 9.5, 10. It was, you know, they told a pretty good story. The story being, you know, Fulton's just so big, but eventually, you know, Ace's speed won out. He ended up pinning him on a roll up. Favorite match, kind of similar story to what John told. Kind of like I had my own Brett Favre moment. My grandfather had passed away February 28th, 2019. And I tell you the truth, I still miss him, even though it was, like, yeah, 16 months ago. But he was just such a big part of my life. He had had a bad stroke, well, two bad strokes, and he was able to make it about a year and a half afterwards until, you know, his heart finally gave out. But I ended up being booked at my home promotion 2 days later on March 2nd, and it was about 5 months in at this point, so I'm extremely green, extremely nervous every time. This was only the second time I'd ever actually been on our main show, but I ended up getting my trainer's match against the former champion, the Reaper, Matt Connard.
Okay.
And that was they ended up going probably about 12 to 14. And that was probably one of the first matches that I really ever felt that, like, I was actually on it, you know, like it made me kind of realize that I could be, like, if when I was on, I could be pretty, you know, pretty good at this. It was also instrumental in helping me cope, you know, because I was extremely close to my grandfather. You know, and it was my way of just being able to, like, you know, say goodbye, I guess, and just kind of get my mind off of things for a night. But then maybe, like, we're talking, like, another – that'll be 1A, 1B in terms of favorite matches. It would probably be the Eric Ryan Schlack death match I did up at Horror Slam last October for the two-year anniversary show. I actually got cut by one of the light tubes in that match, and I still show the scar off proudly. So, and that was just probably the most chaotic shit I've ever done. So,
check that out on the YouTube channel at Deathmatch Wrestling Podcast 313. You guys can check
out
all these guys.
Wait until you're doing a deathmatch and it's a four-way and you think, okay, I'm going to hide behind the biggest man because I know when all four of them swing the light tubes, glass is going to fly everywhere, so I'm going to hide behind the biggest man and stay safe. I'll be safe there. And they all four swing at the same time, okay, and a metal chunk pops you in the head, and you start to bleed out in the middle of a death match. Yeah, that's fun. Yeah. King of the Death Matches 2016. Good time.
Yeah, no, you ask these guys whenever they swing light tubes, I cover my eyes and turn my head the other way. Man, that's just my way. That's my way.
Well, you know, I did too, and it's funny because I've watched the video like 1,000 times, and we slowed it down. And had I not ducked down the way I did, that cap would have caught me right in my jugular, and probably fucked me up really good. Sorry, are we allowed to say that on your show? Sorry. Used to mine. Probably would have messed me up a lot worse than the one than where it did hit me. You know, and it was all good. I went and got it stitched up, came back, finished the show like a real professional would. But it was just, you know, it's still scary, you know, in the moment. We don't sign up for that. So.
Yeah. What about you, big favorite match and top power?
I have nowhere near the names of John or George. yeah, probably the biggest name I ever wrestled was Nate Mastin. But he's like one of the cleanest wrestlers.
And
that's the match I took my first. That was when I took my first wrestling too against Isaiah Bronner.
Nice. So you guys, he wanted to ask you guys a question.
All right.
Okay.
how you guys doing? First of all.
What's up, Martez?
Good, thank you.
What's up? I got one question. I don't know how many matches you guys call in a particular match or in a particular show, but I was wondering, is it hard to go from calling a fast-paced matchup to a technical matchup, if you understand that question?
Yeah, I do. And it can be sometimes, especially if you're Iron Manning, like if you're the only referee. It can sometimes be difficult to make that transition really quickly. But, you know, outside of that instance, I haven't had a whole lot of issues with it, you know, especially if I've got, you know, a little bit of time between the, you know, the fast-paced, you know, flip fest and the, you know, the brouhaha, you know, technical get down. So, you know, but yeah, sometimes it can be.
Okay, cool.
George? A couple of weeks ago, I did all seven matches at the Undisclosed, and there was a match coming out that I didn't even know was even on the card, because when I seen the card, it wasn't even on there.
What's that?
No, no. It gets pretty tricky, but you just gotta
work
around it.
I love it when they add stuff after the fact. That's always fun.
Yeah,
and then I'm in the ring and they're introducing the match and I'm like, what's going on? Where'd this come from?
Yeah, I've been on the receiving end of that.
Yeah, me too.
Now, there have been a few situations where I've had Iron Man a whole card. So typically, what I'll do just to make it easier on myself. This was a 9-match card. It was an anniversary show. I'll break down. I'll take a look at the card. I will meet up with everybody that's before intermission. I will get all their big spots, anything they need me for, get their finishes, and then just so my brain's not entirely full. That way, you know, at intermission, when we finally have a chance to have a breather, then I'll get with the other guys and just make sure that they, you know, because I try to give. John's probably the same way, but I like to sit and watch the guys go over everything so I know where I don't need to be and everything like that. So, like, even it can be a bit challenging when you're the only guy, and you might have 9 or 10 matches to do, but it's just like I just feel like I always try to give that every match the same type of treatment. Doesn't matter if it's the opener or the main, you know?
Well, real quick, I'll be honest with you. I used to be exactly like that, where I wanted to know everything going into it and so forth and so on. And I realized at one point that was taking away from my reaction to what was going on. So, like, I would see the big spot, I would know it's coming up, and instead of my reaction being a genuine holy shit, it was, oh, wow, that was kind of cool, you know. And when I caught myself doing that, I stopped spending so much time paying attention to what was going on. And I'll tell you, there are times that I don't even get the finishes. I just go out and shoot it the way it should be done, and, you know, there you go. Those times are rare. But you know, I do that sometimes.
Well, okay. I wanted to know, have you guys ever been in a situation where, and I don't think it would be wrong for feeling this way, where you were biased to another wrestler versus another one, like were you ever in
like
a situation where
intentionally?
Maybe intentionally is the wrong. Maybe I'm saying the question wrong. Have you ever found
yourself? Are you talking like an angle or?
I've never been a jealous type.
Well, actually, I got to remember this stuff. Wrestling is planned out, so I guess this question won't work. So, basically, have you ever found yourself rooting for somebody to get over? How about that backstage versus someone else?
Oh well, yeah, sure. I won't lie. Sure. Absolutely. I look at a card and be like, really? You're going to put him over him? Really? Why? You know? So, you know, like, and I'm sure George has had those experiences. You show up, you're like, wait a minute.
I mean, we all have friends in the business and we all want our friends to succeed. And sometimes, like,
yeah.
I mean, like, whenever you, like, there's, like, whenever they ask the question, who books that shit, everybody asks that question sometimes. I mean, because like,
yeah.
there's been a lot of there's been a lot of promoters I think that have like burned some great opportunities with a bunch of guys that, you know, with a few guys that I'm friends with locally, and as a result, they end up leaving the promotion. And I'm just like, well,
right.
If you would have just followed up on it, right away and followed up on the momentum that you had, this wouldn't have happened.
Yeah. Yep.
But yeah. So yeah, John's right. I am like that.
What about you, Zeke?
I really thought Atlas Hightower was going to get over at the first undisclosed location.
Yeah,
when he lost,
too.
When I found
now, are
out
we talking
he was
about going
I,
over or getting over? Because those are entirely two different things. Okay, going over is
and
when
I
you
always,
win the match. Getting over is what you want to do while you're in the match and cutting promos.
Yeah, that's true. Another question I was going to ask you guys, but this should have been asked in the beginning. Was referee something that you always wanted you guys to do, or was while you guys were training, did you guys want to become wrestlers at first, or was it something secondary that you guys did?
Go ahead, George.
Well, to tell you the truth, I wanted to be a manager at first. I kind of came up with it's kind of like a re-envisioned version of Colonel Parker. He was Colonel Robert Parker. He was like an oil and gas tycoon. It was kind of a therapeutic way for me to like deal with how much I hate my day job. But I ended up reffing all our training matches, and my trainer was like, "Yeah, I'm gonna probably make you a ref for a little bit." And I started, and I don't like I had the opportunity. And I'm like, I'm good where I'm at. I didn't want to go anywhere. I'm more than happy as a ref. It was not what I intended to do originally, but I wouldn't trade it for anything. Now,
right?
No, for me, I wanted to be a wrestler. I did. I wanted to be a wrestler. I did backyard wrestling. I was the ultimate creation, the woman sensation. The best kept secret in pro wrestling today. I was this and that and a bag of chips. But what I wasn't was any good. What I also was I wasn't any good at being a wrestler. Okay. I was horrible at it. Okay. And then that goes to putting a match together and all. I just couldn't. I could take the bumps and I could do all that, but when it came to putting A, B, and C and putting them and putting them all in a row and making them make sense, that concept was always lost to me. I couldn't do it. Now, it's funny because I can teach other people to do it. I just could never do it. You know, it just wasn't my thing. I wanted to be a wrestler. And I realized real quick that it just was not going to happen for me. I started reffing, I'm glad I did. It's something I'm very grateful for, because I'd have never had the opportunities any other way. So.
Right. Okay. What about you, Zeke?
I think if I would have found out about the wrestling schools after high school, I would have probably been a wrestler before a referee, but because I found out in my mid-30s, that's why I'm a referee.
Right, okay. Another thing is, this is a question for John and George. You know, you guys are deathmatch. You guys are not just regular referees. You guys are deathmatch referees. John.
Hey, I did two.
You did one match.
Two.
It counts. Okay. It counts.
Two?
It counts.
I did. Did you say you've done two? I don't even remember the first two I did.
That's I'm pretty sure, but you guys, I'm gonna ask all three of you guys this. What do you guys think is the difference between refereeing a death match and a regular match? I'm gonna start with Zeke. For your two matches, what's the difference?
Well, the difference is, got to stay the hell out the way, basically, more in the death match. That's the only thing I did a little bit different. I got more out the way and let them do their thing.
Well, all right. What about you, George?
Well, it depends if glass is involved.
if glass is involved, you need to make sure you kick the big pieces out of the way. Number two, I turn, like, don't get me wrong, I can be pretty animated in a regular match, but in a death match, that's upped, because a lot of the spots are just holy shit, you know, like, oh my God moments. Like, if a guy, you know, if a guy, like, when Eric Ryan's going to do his big tope, you know, his big suicide dive onto Schlack with a bundle of light tubes, you better sell the hell out of that. You know, if you just stand there stone-faced, it kind of takes away from it.
Right,
but yeah,
yeah,
like that.
Yeah.
And just checking on the, I always check on the guys to make sure they're okay.
Yeah.
Probably
okay.
With greater frequency in death matches for sure. But yeah,
okay.
that's probably the three biggest differences I can think of in how I treat a regular match versus a death match.
You know, it's funny you bring that up, George. You know, the asking or checking on the guys, because that's something that, you know, even here in my later years, I have found that I do more often, no matter the type of match. Probably more so in a death match than I do in a regular match. But, you know, like, I went back and watched some Tommy Young recently, and he was always really good about that, you know. Staying with the baby face. Are you sure you want to continue? Or are you sure you want to keep going? And stuff like that. So, you know, it's cool that you brought that up, man. I think that's another one of those small things that, you know, a lot of referees miss is, you know, selling with the guys, not for them, but with
right.
them. You know, and making sure, you know, that we're putting over the fact that, you know, we recognize that they're fucked up. You know, something going on
yeah.
there. Especially when he just got a face full of glass. You know. So I definitely agree. Most of that. Oh, as far as differences go, for me, it's hard for me to really differentiate. You know, I don't find that I referee any differently. You know, because as a referee, regardless of the style of the match, I'm still the authority. And I still have to present that there is some semblance of rules, even in a deathmatch environment.
Right.
So, you know, I don't find that I do a whole lot of things differently. I may not do like a count in the ropes or a count in the corner or any of that. But, you know, if there's a blatant choke going on or something of that nature, you know, I'm going to let the guy know about it. And I
right.
love it when they shoot back. I love it when they shoot back, but it's a deathmatch, and I don't care. They're not going to kill him. Just because it's called a death match doesn't mean you have to kill him. So,
right.
You know.
Okay. I'm going to keep on a death match. Now, I'm going to say, would you guys prefer reffing a death match, or would you guys prefer reffing a regular match? I'm going to start with John.
Oh, for me, you know, once upon a time it was regular matches, you know, Pussy Roll style. Anymore, you know, I have become known as the original deathmatch referee because of my original IWA ties back in the early or late 90s and whatnot. And that's all good and dandy. I think the thing that I'm recognized the most for right now is the fact I don't wear gloves during death matches.
Okay.
I don't knock people that do. It's just not me. I want to sell with the boys. You know, it's not going into business for myself or anything like that. It's, you know, to me, the gloves put more attention on me than not wearing them. Because
okay.
then the people are like, you know, well, why is he too good? You know, why can't he? You know, I will tell you one thing that does drive me bonkers. Okay. And I see refs do this, and I hope neither one of the two on the line with me have ever done this during like a thumbtack or a glass match. Don't grab a bucket and hit a bucket to make your count. Oh my God.
Oh, never.
That is horrible.
Never.
No,
oh my
no,
God.
I never dealt with that or nothing.
I have seen that done, and I'm just like, that is, how can you see his shoulders from up there? Like that's the first thing I go to is, how do you see his shoulders from standing? How do you do that? Because, you know, I'm 40, so I'm blind. I have to be down at fucking level with these guys to see if their shoulders are down. How the hell are you doing it standing up? You know, that's the first thing that comes to my mind when I see that.
Okay.
You know, so, you know, to me, adding things to it doesn't assist the situation. You know, by me not wearing gloves, I feel like I blend in more to the background and to what's going on than I would if I had the gloves on. And you know, me and my professional rival, who I love dearly, Chris Levin, I can't ever say his last name right, Kid Ref, you know, we've had some debates over this very issue. You know, he thinks it takes away from a death match. I think it takes away from a death match if I'm wearing them. So, you know, I mean, it's just a difference of opinion. You know, a lot of the guys that I've worked with through the years, Madman Pondo, Marcus Frayne, Schlack, those guys, Eric Lyons, you know, Nick Gage, nobody's ever, you know, had a problem with it. So until somebody major, and not that Christmas is important, but until, like, my boss comes to me, the guy paying me at the end of the night, and says, hey, you have to wear gloves, I'm not going to wear them during the death match. I think it's stupid.
All right, well,
now, again, let me clarify, just because I don't want to sound offensive. I think it's stupid to wear gloves. That does not mean I think the person that wants to wear them is stupid. Okay, if you want to wear PPE, by all means, wear your PPE. Do you? Okay, it's just my opinion that I think I look bad. Okay, it's stupid for me, not for you. So I want to clarify that.
Okay. All right, George, what do you prefer, death match or a regular match?
Well, just on gloves, I wear them because I got cut in my first one. After that, I just didn't want to, like, get my hands fucked up because I needed to type for work a lot.
Right, right. I get. I mean,
yeah.
You use your hands in your shoot job, so I get that. You know, I don't.
Yeah, no.
So.
I got a lot of respect for you for not wearing gloves. I just know I'm too much of a pussy to really do it. That's just me. But in terms of honestly, it just depends. I love death matches, but like I'm okay that every match I do isn't a death match. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean it does. I mean, well,
yeah,
I
no, like,
say.
I mean, I just love wrestling in general. Like, often, like, especially like, if you end up in a promotion where you get where the refs kind of get latitude to pick whichever matches that they want. I'm a big sucker for deathmatch wrestling, and I love tag team wrestling. So you know, like, honestly, it just depends on the day. Like, but like, I'll gladly do a death match any day, but at the same time, like I love regular wrestling as well. So it's I'm just kind of like, well, I had a friend tell me this the other day. He said I'm a whore for the business, and he's kind of right. I just love being in a ring. I love being around this. I love being able to contribute in a positive in what I perceive to be a positive manner, instead of just being somebody else who just shouts out into the abyss about like just adding more negativity around our business. And I'm just glad that I took the step to get off the couch and actually did it.
Listen, wrestling has screwed me more than any woman ever has. Okay. I am proud to be wrestling coach. Proud.
Definitely. All right, Dick, what about you?
I'd rather wrestle a 5-star match than a death match any day.
Okay. I can agree with both. I like both. I love death match wrestling, but I mean, I love my pro wrestling. That was my first love.
I love watching death match wrestling. I love the two matches I did because it didn't involve too much light tubes, but I don't think I could do a match with a lot of light tubes. And if I did, I'd wear gloves. That's just my opinion because I don't want to cut my hands and stuff.
All right. Because
I already cut my leg.
Yeah, definitely. So what are you guys doing during the pandemic to keep busy? I mean, I don't know how it is everywhere everybody's at, but Zeke, what are you doing to keep busy? I know you ride your bike and you got your Southwest
set
of places. What are you guys doing?
Yeah, and I'm working out a lot more. I'm eating a lot more. I actually became a video gamer again since during the pandemic. So if anybody listening got PlayStation, add me on. We'll get down on Friday the 13th.
What are you doing during the pandemic to keep yourself busy?
I'm sorry, were you not, did you say John or George?
Yeah, I missed that too.
George.
John, you go first. You go first.
Okay. Thank you. I tell you, it's been rough. You know, my wife is an essential employee. She works for a hospital about 30 minutes from where we live. And, you know, she does not work hand-in-hand with the COVID patients, but she works in close proximity to them. So there have been some scary times at the Gray household over the last few months. Lots of temperature checks, lots of, you know, where did that cough and sneeze come from and stuff of that nature.
Right.
A lot of fun times. You know, I've gotten back into gaming a little bit. You know, I'm not an essential employee. I'm still not working. Thank God for the federal government's $600. Otherwise, you know, we would really be hurting, especially with no wrestling going on throughout the last few months. But, you know, I don't have internet or cable where I live because I live in the middle of nowhere, Alabama. I literally live right dab smack in the middle of Decatur and Muscle Shoals. So there's nothing where my town is 700 people big. Like, it's a little bitty place. And the only internet we could get here anyways is, like, satellite. So I'm just like, yeah, no. I'll just use my hotspot. I get you know, so much hotspot with my phone plan a month. So we just do that. Stream stuff on our phone. You know, I play a lot of offline PlayStation, Madden and NASCAR. I like making my left turns and putting Kyle Larson's Galatians ass up into the wall. I actually aim for him and Kyle Busch. Like, I'm racing, and if I see the 42 of Kyle Larson or the 18 of Kyle Busch, I'm aiming for them to put them in the wall. Every race, I do not care if I'm winning or not. I'm just a jerk like that. I was that way, and you know what's funny is I would do that to online people too, just because they were racing the cars when I could play online. Oh, you're a Kyle Busch fan? Here, let me put you in the wall. very glad that NASCAR is back on TV. Gives me some sports to watch. I was real happy that Fox decided to show some throwback games and stuff of that nature, and you know, that kind of kept me busy. You know, YouTube, and I got real acquainted with YouTube Premium, and you know, that's a great service to have. And AdFreeShows.com with Conrad Thompson, chief clerk for my buddy there, down here in Alabama, doing a great thing over there at AdFreeShows.com with Tony Schiavone and Eric Bischoff and all the guys, all the shows he's got. So go subscribe over at the Patreon there. It's well worth the $9.99 a month. You know, that's basically it. Just a lot of podcasts, a lot of Dateline. I'm a big Dateline fan. I don't know that's cool or not, but I like true crime periods. So, like, you know, if I'm streaming something on Netflix or Hulu or whatever, it probably has something to do with murder or a serial killer or something of that nature. That's basically been World War II documentaries too. I've been really into World War II for some reason recently. So been watching a lot of World War II documentaries. That's really it, man. Like, I just, you know, I'm a house husband now, I guess. So, like, I'm home all day, so I do nothing but keep the house clean and, you know, yeah.
Okay. What about you, George?
Well, unfortunately, I've still had to keep working throughout the pandemic, but I am blessed that I can work from home.
Amen.
So I'll just have my laptop, and I took my monitor from the office in March. I don't ever plan on going back. I don't think they've ever figured it out yet. You know, it's like I'll be just doing whatever on TV.
you know, but I started cooking a lot more. I've probably lost about 25 pounds since quarantine started. Just started eating better. Cut out pop. No more fast food, really. Maybe, like, Taco Bell once a week, if that. Just to cheat. But I've also been trying to do what I can to keep busy. West Virginia is basically the Wild West. So I've been able to actually, like, I've been working consistently in West Virginia, you know, taking bookings since May. There were two different promotions I've had that are in a close enough proximity that are doing empty arena shows that, you know, I was blessed enough to be able to get on. So I've been able to, you know, still keep involved in wrestling and just trying to get more improved with my camera positioning and everything else. So.
Okay, George, real quick, I gotta ask, and Zeke, feel free to jump in on this too. I know I did Saturday, well, other than the two matches I worked at Horseland for the undisclosed location, you know, Saturday was really my first delve back into, you know, doing a show, being there all day and so forth and so on. You know, did you all experience any ring rust? Because I sure the hell did.
My first main event back, I misheard the promoter on my earpiece, ended up sending the guys home 10 minutes early. So, yeah, there was definitely ring rust. It took me, what, probably took me a good, but we were running a weekly web show. So
gotcha.
I was able to get enough reps where I was able to, like, get back pretty quickly. There was definitely some ring rust. Sorry, I'm done.
I didn't know none of the winners and losers of the first three or four matches until after intermission.
Yeah, guys, I apologize for my posing not showing up. We got about 4 minutes left, and I was going to ask all you guys if you guys want to let the listeners know where they can reach you guys at on social media, and if you guys got anything else you guys want to say before we get off the line. Start with you, John.
Let's all speak at once.
You know what? I'm horrible with my memory. It's real bad. But I got a podcast right here on Blog Talk Radio, Real Side of Wrestling. I believe it's blogtalkradio.com/Real Side Media. If it's not that, it's Real Side Wrestling or Real Side of Wrestling, one of the two. But, yeah, check us out. We've had some great interviews since we've been back. Got some great archived interviews with Drake Younger, Billy Jack Haynes, a 3-day tribute to Jack Briscoe when he passed away. A lot of good stuff back in the old days. Definitely check that out. Recently had Nick Gage on. We got Effie coming up on Tuesday. Just had Alex Zane on this past Tuesday. Got some good stuff planned there. You can find me on the Facebook at main event, facebook.com/main event referee. My fan page is facebook.com/deathmatchreferee. Twitter is @refereejohngray, and the real side of for the real side of wrestling is at Twitter. It's just the real side of. There's nothing after that. They wouldn't let us put anything else. So the real side of is our handle on Twitter there. That's how you can find me. Support indie wrestling, and thank you again for having me on, man. It's been a blast.
Oh, man, no problem. It was my pleasure, man. It was my pleasure to have all you guys. And like I said, I apologize that Mike told you to make it on. So hopefully, you know, we can have them on one day and reschedule, and I'll have you guys back on. That way if you guys had any questions for him or if he had any pointers for you guys, you know what I'm saying, we can get that going too someday. So what about you, George? Where can everybody catch you at?
All right, so I don't have I'm the only, like, you know, Gen Y, Gen Z, whatever, who doesn't have a Twitter or an Instagram. So you can find me on Facebook. It's my personal page, George S. Zavadak. That's Z as in zebra, A. V as in Victor, A. D as in dog, A-K. It's long and Hungarian, and I apologize for that. Also thanks to everybody who listened today and keep supporting indie wrestling as much as possible, especially now. Buy your favorite guys' merch. They need it now more than ever. And thanks for having me on, Day-Day. I really appreciate it.
My man, not a problem, man. It was a pleasure. What about you, Zeke?
My Instagram is Referee Elijah Magic. My Snapchat is EJ Serratos, Serratos 523. Facebook, Ezekiel Zeke Serratos. Or my fan page is 12Zeke right now, but as soon as I'm able to change it, it will be Referee Elijah Magic. And Twitter is EJ Serratos, just that. And thanks, Day-Day. Thank you, John. I'm going to really soak up some of the stuff you put some knowledge in my brain right now. And thank you, George, for being here too as well. It was a good show, guys.
Thank you. You guys up next is the Gorilla Position Podcast with Steve Aarons and the Macho Ghost up next on Open Talk Radio. So if you guys referees, can you guys count the show out with a three count?
All right.
One, two, three.
Two, three.
Don't
like you guys were doing a match. Count it out.
Come on.
Ring the bell. This is over.
Ring the bell.
That's over.
All right, hold on. Let me get the bell. Can I get a bell, sir? Let me see.
Ding, ding, ding.
Ding, ding, ding.
Ding, ding, ding. All right. There we go.
There you go. All right, you guys. I appreciate you guys being on. Like I said, Mike Posey, we'll get him back on the show. Hopefully, we reschedule and have you guys back on. So thank you guys each for coming on. This has been Rated R Wrestling Podcast Referee Week. If you guys like this show, let us know on Facebook. So we can continue to do these ref shows and hopefully manager shows. So love you guys. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you.